stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
You're listening to Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly. The subject matter of this podcast is for mature audiences, and there are a few words here and there that could land you in the principal's office, so listener discretion is advised.
I have a few buddies who meet every Thursday for what they call Boys' Night. I've been told it's a lot of watching hockey, playing Grand Theft Auto, and talking about cars and motorcycles. You know, super stereotypical masculine guy stuff. But my overreactive imagination pictures them sitting around eating pizza, drinking whiskey, and giving high fives while talking about boobs and butts. The boys swear it's not like that. They promise they're grown men, not teenagers, and they're able to talk about real feelings and sex like fully formed adults. But I've been around groups of men when they let their guards down. I've also been around groups of women who can be very graphic about what goes on in their bedrooms when they get talking. So I wasn't buying the "we're too mature for that" act from these three dudes. But they were insistent, and to prove it, they invited my microphone to Boys' Night. Not me, of course, but my recording device. And I have to admit, I wasn't expecting to hear this side of them.
So it's been on the back burner, on the back burner, on the back burner, and now it's like I can kind of go out and see somebody again. But
we're not on a quest either. So
I'm not on a quest.
And that's why you're going to find someone awesome. Oh, dude, if you're looking for that poontang, you're not going to find it.
No, yeah. So not the one that you want to keep around.
You know what? I agree with that statement, but at the same time, I think it's interesting how when you talk to people who have, like, their grandparents were together for 60 years, 70 years, it was always that was their first love. You know what I mean? And I don't know anyone who's with their first love.
I think the population boom doesn't help.
There's more ways of knowing people now.
Yeah.
But also, that was like the grandparents' time. Like, you could move 11 miles down the street and have a new life and a new family if you were a guy. Guys walked out on families all the time back then. My grandparents were together for 50-plus years, and my grandpa talked around all the time. You weren't allowed to leave the marriage because you'd be frowned upon as a woman in the 50s and 60s. You know, it wasn't like now people just get married and divorced in 2 years.
I have a lot of friends, and I'm the only one who's married.
Right.
And aside from one other one, I'm the only one who's ever been married. Yeah.
You found a formula, and it worked for you, and you guys are a great power couple, and you have, like, your life set together, and that's, like, fucking beautiful.
Okay.
Guys like me, I'm like, okay, I'm in a relationship for 4 years now. But I've been in and out of relationships, and a lot of them were short, and then some of them were long. A lot of them were toxic, and I'm like fortunate for once in my life to have a queen, someone to stand on.
Yeah.
We help each other. She has my back. She covers me. I cover her. And you guys have a beautiful relationship too. So it's like, that's why, but you locked in. You're like, oh, I'm fucking not losing this one.
25 years is a long time. It's a long time. For me, there's tough times. Like, you know, have you ever heard the term the 7 year itch?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Just there's a 7 year itch. No, there's also a 15 year one.
It's a 7 year contract. And
yeah.
Then you re up.
So it's weird that way, but like, you just kind of go, where am I? You know, like,
sure.
where are we? How does this thing work? I look at all my friends, and they've never been with anyone for that first 7 years. Like, they've never been with anyone for 4 years.
I haven't.
5 years. For all of my friends who've never been there, I don't know how they'll ever have a relationship. They are so hardened who they are. They've become themselves so much that I don't see them finding an openness to create a life together with anybody else.
I don't think that they can't have connection with someone else. It just might take them a little more time to get to that.
I hope so. I hope that's true. But we have yet to see any of them get there.
Are you thinking that it's bad that people aren't getting married and, like, just settling down and getting a house and everything?
I didn't say anything about being married. I just said about having a long-term, like, long, like, life relationship. Sorry, not long-term. Life relationship.
Okay, life partner.
That's a different statement. Long-term and life relationship are two different things. If you look into at a relationship as there is no end to this while both of us are alive, as opposed to we're going to do this for as long as we are willing to stick it out.
No,
that's two different ways to look at it. And I think that a lot of people today don't see those two as a discrepancy. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I don't think anything long term. If I'm like liking somebody, I just think about the immediacy of now, and then I ignore bad things.
That's tunnel vision?
Tunnel vision, myopia.
Myopia is how you get through life with a lifetime partner, honestly. Sure. You're like, let's just get through today.
We'll figure it out tomorrow. You know, I've been used to being single and not... I've never been a codependent person on somebody, and I've had... Being from where I'm from, everybody's like shacked up and they're just like, oh yeah, they'll date somebody for some years in their early life, and then they'll go on and immediately date somebody for the next 5 years of their life, and then they're just serial relationship people, monogamous.
Is that like a small town thing?
Yeah, I think so. But I was raised by a single mom that never felt the need to have a guy around, and I don't know if that must have affected me in some way. Like, I'm like, I don't need anybody to make me feel happier, but thusly, I go out and short-term date people here and there. I was in the longest relationship I had was 2 years, and that was like long for me, you know. I learned a lot from that, but now I'm just like, you know, I'm not looking to jump back into anything or default to being this single guy. Like, everybody just assumes I'm picking up chicks at a bar or something sometimes, sure, but no, I've never felt the need that I was like lonely and needed to do that.
I know I'm leaning into this gender stereotype pretty hard here, but it's really to make a point about how much society separates expectations for masc and femme people when it comes to sex. Those expectations can really shape the information men and women get about how they see themselves and how to relate to others. I started to think about how much information is out there for women to explore themselves, heal sexual wounds, and get in touch with their fierce inner goddesses. But what's out there for just male-identified people? I mean, other than bars, clubs, and bathhouses, you can find those pretty much anywhere. So I went looking for workshops and classes that are geared towards helping men expand themselves. And I was pretty disappointed in how little I found. Then I came across Andrea Bertoli's online Just for Men intimacy class. This week on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I sent my producer Parker Edison to a men's intimacy class, and we get to talking about men's sensuality after this break.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
So today we are going to talk about erotic embodiment and tools that you can use to feel more of your erotic energy, more of your sexual self, and higher states of arousal.
That's Andrea Bertoli. She's a certified sex educator with a master's degree in gender studies from the University of Hawaii. But oddly enough, she started out teaching vegan cooking classes and financial competency to women.
And as I was doing more of the money work, I realized actually it's not really about the money. It's about like the deep self-worth, the self-reverence, the wisdom that we have within us to care for ourselves. And I started at the same time really understanding sexuality in a different way. And I remember talking to my partner at the time and saying, can I just have a job where I just get to like talk to people about like food and sex and money? These are the things that we're all supposed to know how to do really well. We're supposed to know exactly what diet works for us. We're supposed to have a bunch of money and we're supposed to be having a lot of sex, but we're never supposed to talk about it. And we're so limited in our access to proper, legitimate, medically accurate sex education. And we're so bereft of relational intelligence as well.
Now she uses tools from tantra, mindfulness, and yoga to help people find new ways of relating to their own bodies and others and to rethink sex and pleasure.
I really thought when I started this work that I would be working with women and help them understand their bodies and orgasm. And that is a big part of what I do. But a lot of women partner with men. And so I've really started to focus a lot of my practice on offering skills to men who are interested in this work, because I really believe that the patriarchy as a system of oppression really harms us all. It harms young boys and men, telling them that there's these rigid boxes that they have to fit into, that there's only one way to be a man, that you have to stuff your emotions, that, you know, you should be having all of the sex and take all of the sex that you could possibly get. Like, not being able to express our true selves, our true sexuality, is a problem that harms us all.
Among other things, Andrea teaches free online classes designed to be a safe space exclusively for men. So I sent my producer to check it out and report back. Thanks for taking this class for me, Parker. What'd you think of it?
Now that I had time to sit with it, it's pretty freaking awesome. Initially, though, I was a little apprehensive because I was the only person of color there.
Oh, do you think there's specific barriers for people of color?
Yeah, I think cultural stigma and biases play into the bedroom, so there won't be that sharing of information. And I think that's what happens to Black and brown men. Sometimes we don't get the invite because of those biases.
How do you think it could become more accessible?
Just plain old having conversation of the people who have the info, telling the people who don't, and taking note that both want the information. I think that's making the whole difference. That's what you did.
I did see a few events that looked interesting, like the SIR Festival. SIR stands for Sex, Intimacy, and Relationship. It's a two-day event for men that offers intimacy and relationship workshops, but it seems to only come around once a year, and it's for, quote, men who love men, which is neither of us. I also found plenty of play parties and bathhouses for men, but those aren't necessarily designed to help men expand their knowledge of self and sensuality. What kinds of things did Andrea get into in the class you took?
She got into so many interesting details.
Let's take a break, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about it.
All right.
Most plastic doesn't get recycled. It just ends up in the landfill. Instead of trashing it, you can reuse that container by refilling it at Earthwell Refill over and over again. You can refill laundry detergent, dish soap, shampoos and conditioners, even toothpaste. You name it, and Earthwell Refill has it. All natural products that are good for you and our community. At Earthwell Refill, we make it easy to live a more sustainable and eco-friendly lifestyle.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
I was curious about the resources available to men to help them get more in touch with their sexuality, so I looked for classes and workshops I could send my producer, Parker Edison, to. After some digging around, I found Andrea Bertoli's online men's intimacy class and got to chatting with Parker about it. Parker, I didn't get to take this class, but I did get to talk with Andrea for a long while, and we really dug into talking about the stereotypes that men are taught about, you know, real men have lots of sex. Did she talk about that in the class?
She definitely did. There's this kind of unspoken rule that men want quantity over quality, and she pushed away from that. In fact, she pointed out that it's more attractive sometimes to reserve that type of energy.
When she and I were talking about this, she was getting really deep in the subject, not just how to hold back so that you could play the game to get more sex, but like how to really harness energy and energy exchanges.
Yeah, she very much gets into the intangible side of things. And I don't think regular life allots time for us to touch about that.
How is it having a woman leading the group and talking about these things?
Like I said, I was apprehensive in the beginning. But as it went on, I realized she might be the best person to kind of put men on to what we're missing in the man-woman dynamic. I think it's an advantage.
To have a woman there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually what she said to me, too.
I think that it's important to have a feminine person in a group of men to be able to hold space for them without blaming, without shaming, without making them wrong. Having that opportunity to sit with men while they figure stuff out can be really powerful.
It sounds like you're creating a space where you're giving them permission to have feelings other than just anger and being horny, right? Men are told like you're allowed to be angry, you're allowed to be horny. All other feelings are not masculine.
Yeah, there's a lot of essentialism that happens, right? Like all men are like this, all women are like this. And the more I do this work, the more I sit with individuals, the more I realize so many of those gender differences fall apart, right? So like one of the very common myths is that men want all the sex all the time and they don't care what type it is or when it happens or whatever. And women are like the gatekeepers of like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm not ready. it is often reversed, where it's the women who want more sex or who have a higher interest in sex or, you know, more expressive sexuality. So it's so fascinating to see how these stereotypical gender differences really fall apart and in the individual. I did two events last year in person, and the woman who was the host kind of helping me coordinate said, I reached out to a bunch of men, and one of the men was interested in coming, but he said he didn't want to come because he didn't just want to sit there and have you yell at him the whole time.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, like, of course, that is not what I'm here to do, but that's what he thinks I'm here to do, right? Like, that's his experience of being with women teachers, whatever that might be.
I think that we also overlook the fact that lots of men have sexual trauma.
Yeah, I think way more men and boys have been harmed than we will ever know because of these stereotypes that keep them not talking, keep them stuffing their emotions, hiding their emotions. One of the things that I've noticed is that the way that men are harmed, especially in adult relationships, is often way more covert and kind of under the radar. There was a few months ago where I was sitting with multiple men who were all telling me about all this very deep harm, all this deep trauma, this abuse that they were experiencing in their partnerships. And I had to say to them after a while, like, this is abuse. Like, this doesn't code as abuse always in our society, but this is not okay. The ways that I often see women harming men is through the back door. It's very covert. It's more coercive. It's more manipulative. So we don't see it the same way.
It sounds like you guys touched on some really deep stuff. Did she talk about the four realms of sexuality?
Is that the difference between sensual, sexual, and erotic? Because I know she got into that.
No, that's something else. But how did she define those?
Ooh, sensuality specifically is tuning into the senses, which can be sexual, but it's not inherently so. Erotic is pure life energy. It's creative energy. It's so powerful, it can create life. And sex energy is what we create in interactions with others and sometimes by ourselves. She speaks on how maintaining that sex energy makes you even more magnetic and attractive. But what's the four realms if it's not that?
She talked about the four realms of sexuality being relationship to self, relationship to others, sexuality, and then physiology. She actually explains it really well.
So when we think about relationship to self, I think about, do you have mind-body practices, meditation, yoga, martial arts, running? Have you been in therapy to talk about trauma, to talk about the things that happened to you that shaped you as a human? Do you have an understanding of the cultural dynamics, the social dynamics, family dynamics, religious dynamics that maybe told you men are a certain way? What helps you feel in your body? What helps you feel present with yourself, with your feelings? The second one is, I would think of as relationship to others, right? Whether it's friends, family, lovers. Do you have emotional intelligence skills? Have you developed skills for empathy and compassion and listening? And in partnership, are you able to have differentiation? Well, yes, of course, you want to keep your partner, your wife, your spouse, your lover happy. Like, so many people, especially a lot of quote unquote nice guys, surrender their desires, surrender their needs in service of making their wife happy. This goes both ways too. So it's kind of regardless of gender, regardless of what type of relationship you're in, we need to be differentiated enough in ourselves to know that, like, I'm not responsible for my partner's happiness. And then I think about sexuality and sexual expression, which is, what do you like? What are you into? Do you identify as a kinkster, as queer? Do you identify as straight, but like love watching gay porn? Sexuality is such a spectrum, and really understanding that we get to play on this spectrum. So really learning what you want, and then learning how to express yourself. And then I also want people to know about their bodies, right? Our bodies change, our erections change, our penis is going to change, our ejaculate might change. So really understanding how to know your body, how to know your arousal, know what's happening in your partner's body, and really learning how to build and hold arousal in your body so that you can learn to be like a more potent, more powerful, more present lover. And if you really want to take it to the next level, learn to have multiple orgasms and have non-ejaculatory orgasms, which is kind of mind-blowing for a lot of people with penises to understand that you can come over and over and over and not have an ejaculation.
Yeah, I took a prostate massage class and had a whole conversation about accessing multiple orgasms through prostate massage. And it was pretty fascinating and amazing to see and to then practice later.
She fully dives into the psychological aspects of it in the class. One of the things that she brings up that I'm still sitting with is surfing the eight. That's the idea that if pleasure sits on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being maximum, 1 being minimum, what you want to do is create a wave of pleasure. And you want to kind of surf that wave. You want to surf the 8. You don't want to go over and go into 10 because then you finish. And you don't want to go under that because then it gets underwhelming. You want to keep everyone involved and keep everyone right on the edge of pleasure, surfing the 8.
I could see how that would be a good tool for men. That's not really something that I think a lot of women have to keep in mind. I don't know a whole lot of women who are like, oh no, I'm going to orgasm too fast.
And that's what she's doing. She's speaking to men and telling us to keep that in mind, that our partners might need more time. And so what we want to do is kind of stave ourselves off, keep ourselves cool. We want to help her to get to that 8 and then surf the 8 until she gets all the way over. And hopefully we go over together.
Oh, so you're just hanging out in that almost there super pleasurable area together.
Exactly. Teamwork.
Teamwork.
But wait a minute. We're not just going to zoom past that little thing that you said. What about a prostate massage class?
Years ago, I took a hands-on prostate massage class, and it was really interesting. And I keep looking for something like that to be offered again, and I just can't find them anywhere. But that actually leads me into another part of the conversation that Andrea and I had about butt stuff.
I don't like this.
Yeah, you might. Have you tried? Okay, wait, you don't have to answer that.
I would love to talk about anal play for a minute because it really encompasses kind of these four realms of sexuality, right? Because it's the cultural, the social, the shame we might feel around talking about butt stuff. Like, well, I'm not gay. I can't do that. But our buttholes have no sexuality. Our buttholes don't know what's up. They like pleasure for a lot of people, not everybody, right? But a lot of people really enjoy anal stimulation. And I love teaching men to explore this part of their body simply because it helps them in a very visceral way unwind some of this cultural shame, unwind some of their maybe internalized or maybe overt homophobia. It helps them unwind the idea that pleasure is only in their penis. You know, a lot of couples get stuck in this routine of we only have sex that is penis and vagina sex. We don't want to do anything else. You know, so it's both like personal, how do we break out of that idea? And it's kind of cultural, like how do we give people more permission? And like, thank God for TikTok and Instagram and so much like queer activism over the past few decades. Like we are seeing a lot of progress. I really have a lot of hopes for the younger generation. And a lot of people are still stuck. When we get stuck and it's always like this, it's always been like this, my body always did this, that's when we really sell ourselves short. Because if you are still fucking the way you did when you were 25, your body is going to not be able to do that. It's not going to feel as good. It's not going to be as hard. It's not going to be as wet. It's not going to be as, you know, whatever. So we have to update our sex. We have to update our habits. We have to update our routines in order to continue having sex worth having if we want to continue having sex throughout our lifetime.
As I take these classes and workshops and talk with people about sexuality, one of the things that really sticks out is that healthy sexuality has a lot to do with growth and adaptation, like really not getting stuck in a routine that doesn't work for you or no longer feels satisfying and fulfilling.
Being in a class with other men was validating and helpful, but the fact that a woman was speaking clued me in and included her into the conversation. It was helpful. Where can I hear more from Andrea?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask.
So I'm on socials with my full name. It's Andrea Devin Bertoli on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. We have to be pretty G-rated on socials. So my juiciest stuff is actually on Patreon, which is a membership-based platform. You can join as low as $5 a month. And that's where I do classes on anal play, on pegging, on my favorite sex books, on how to, you know, explore the clitoral complex, and just kind of fun, beautiful practices that people can explore.
I think one of the really special things about humanity is that we share information across the ages. We create tools and language, we write down history, and we build upon each other's knowledge. I think the more we have conversations about sex, the more we can evolve collectively and as individuals.
Yeah, sex isn't just sex. It's about the connection with yourself and other people.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking this class for me, Parker.
I still don't know if I'm on board to hear about this whole butt play thing.
Don't knock it till you try it. Classes and workshops like the ones you hear about on this show are wonderful ways to engage in important dialogues about intimacy, build community, and learn something new about yourself. But if you are experiencing serious issues due to trauma, abuse, or other sexual suffering, please seek out help from a professional and certified therapist. Also, if you have any ideas for show topics or fun, sexy things around town you think I should explore, follow me on Instagram at @badformmedia and tell me about it. Thank you for joining us on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly. All episodes are created by your host, Miss Lolly, for Bad Form Media. Our executive producer is Parker Edison for Meridian Arts. Edgar Almanar is our fantastic editor, and our sound engineer is Luke Henshaw of Penguin Studios. Theme music arranged and played by Miss Lolly. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer and sound designer Adrian Villalobos and KPBS producer Julio Ortiz Franco. Lisa Jane Morissette is KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. You can subscribe and find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explorer Content Fund. And now something I thought was funny.
Living the furry life?
That too.
You know, yeah. People live in the furry life?
Yes, I do. And they're amazing. I just hung out with them the other day, and they're beautiful people.
Tell me about furry sex.
Like, I don't know. Furious. Like, I just know that they're...
He hasn't had it.
I really want to know.
I couldn't. Oh, man.
Come on, you're into splashing.
I'm not. It sounds like if it was, like, cottage cheese in, like, a bathtub, I would consider it. But it has to be, like 34 degrees.
Big curd or small curd?
Oh, small curd, always. Small curd. Yeah,
I want a fine curd.
Yeah,
not
fine
a coarse
curd.
That's, one.
Yeah. It's the only one to do.
Basically yogurt, like kefir.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that sounds kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.